Summer is definitely the sexiest season. I mean, think about it. The days are longer, the nights are hotter, and your sex life is too. And if you're looking to turn up the heat, how about a little help from our friends at Promescent? Summer is all about things hot and steamy, so I highly recommend you add something extra and tap into Promescent's lineup of pleasure-enhancing products. I've been singing their praises for years, since they started, and for good reason. Because first up, we have the legendary Delay Spray. This is the MVP of lasting longer and keeping those eager penile nerves in check. You just do a quick spray, and you're set to outlast even the longest days of summer, ensuring the party doesn't end before you want it to. So you can have the mind-blowing climax you're now so very well equipped to reach, thanks to Promescent. It just helps you last longer without all the worry. And for women, Promescent's warming arousal gel is a fun pre-sex ritual. You just rub it into your vulva a few minutes before and you'll feel it start to tingle, warming up every nerve ending. So you'll feel that much more pleasure everywhere before you even get going. So it's kind of like the sure thing. So make sure this summer is the sexiest one yet. Check out promescent.com/Emily and get 15% off at checkout. You get free shipping, 60-day money-back guarantee, discreet shipping, all the things. Promescent is your ticket to a more guaranteed good time. That's promescent.com/Emily. promescent.com/Emily for your exclusive discount. Check it out. Thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. On today's show, I'm bringing you an email blitz. I'm taking your questions on here and from Instagram to give you the first step of taking back your sex and love life. Topics include swinging mishaps, how to keep up your stamina when more people are in the mix, sex talk icebreakers, starting the conversation on what you like in the bedroom with your partner isn't always easy, I get it, but it doesn't have to be stressful, role play, it's the one thing you've yet to master, and here's a few tips to get you going. And does dating a coworker ever really work? All this and more. Thanks for listening.
Look into his eyes. They're the eyes of a man obsessed by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions. Bedroom eyes, they call them in a bygone day.
Hey, Emily. You got a boyfriend?
Because my man E here, he just got his heart broken. He thinks you're kind of cute.
A girl's
got
to have her standards. Oh, my.
Do women know about shrinkage?
Isn't it common knowledge?
What do you mean, like laundry? It shrinks?
Can we not talk about sex so much?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God. I feel so good.
Being bad feels pretty good.
But you know, Emily's not the kind of girl you just play with.
You're listening to Sex with Emily. We're talking about sex, relationships, and everything in between. For more information, go to sexwithemily.com. Check out our website and all the great things we have happening there to help you have better sex. You can also find us wherever you listen to podcasts. We love when you subscribe or comment. That's awesome. Wherever you listen, Spotify, Google Play, iHeartRadio. Oh my God, they're everywhere now. iTunes. And you can also find me on SiriusXM Radio 5 days a week. Weekdays, Stars, Channel 109. And it's from 5 to 7 p.m. Pacific. And it's awesome. You can get a free trial at sexwithemily.com/SXM. And you can also find us on social media at Sex with Emily. Across the board, you should definitely find us there. It is, you know, we're coming upon Masturbation Month. It's a big month around here. It's like our Christmas. It's like our holidays. So you're going to want to follow us because we have some great information for you and some amazing giveaways. There's nothing quite like sinking your teeth into a good sandwich. But listen, carb guilt is real. I'm someone who's very invested in my health, and I like to get my carbs from oats and beans and fruits and not bread. But I love bread, so here's my hack. Thanks to Hero Bread, you can enjoy your favorite bready delights without the carb consequences. Hero Bread has turned those carby, empty-calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious breads that boast 0 to 1 net carbs per serving, 0 grams of sugar, and are packed with loads of fiber and protein. The first time I tried their white bread, I was skeptical. Could it really taste good with such impressive nutritional stats? Well, I'm pleasantly surprised to say it absolutely does. The texture is just phenomenal. It's like this soft, airy, and it just toasts up like a dream. I've whipped up everything from grilled cheese to PB&J and even made enchiladas, wraps, and tacos with their tortillas. Each time, Hero Bread has been a game changer. And here's the kicker. Despite its light texture and great taste, Hero Bread fits perfectly into my health goals. It's been adding more fiber to my diet while keeping the sugar at bay. Whether I'm packing a picnic lunch, planning a road trip snack, which I often do, or prepping French toast for breakfast, Hero Bread is my go-to. So whether you're craving a classic sandwich, a burger, or a hearty bun, or even indulging in a low net carb croissant, Hero Bread is something for everyone. And I highly recommend checking their monthly small batch drops out so you can try goodies like the 1 gram net carb Hero Cheddar Biscuit and so much more. You won't believe what they have. So you ready to kick carb guilt to the curb? Head over to hero.co and snag 10% off your order with the code Emily. That's Emily at hero.co. Let's get into some sex in the news here. Meet the boring app that spiced up my sex life. Now, I think that apps for sex is great, like for helping you schedule sex or helping you talk about what you like in bed. Like, there's been some apps that have tried to do that, but I found this so interesting because I thought it would be a little bit of inspiration for all of you. So this woman, she's you know, talks about how she's in a long distance relationship, and you know, admittedly, getting to know a new partner when you're in a long distance relationship, when they're across the country, can be really challenging. And even when you live with them, how do you actually talk about sex in a way that's really constructive so you're both can be vulnerable, but also trusting, and then open up what you really want? So she found out when she asked her partner what he was into, in an effort to keep the flame burning from across the country, they were about a month out before getting to see each other again, and she was growing impatient. And her partner felt weird listing all the things he wanted to try with her on the spot, which I get. Sometimes, you know, when someone asks you something, and it can even be something that you want, like when someone says to me, what's your favorite movie? Or what's the best? My mind just goes blank sometimes. Or what's your top favorite? And especially with sex, to look eye to eye with someone, you're getting to know, be like, oh, well, I'm really into anal, cuckolding, and flogging. How about you? Like, it just doesn't roll off the tongue. So she was frustrated, and she was looking at her Apple Notes. Now, if you have an iPhone, it comes with this Notes program, which I love. I use all the time. And recently, they updated it, and they made it collaborative, which I saw that update. I'm like, that's pretty cool, because I have all these crazy notes on here I always want to send you guys. I'm like, you'll never understand this. It's like a Google Doc, but you can use it collaboratively. So she decided that, you know, she was going to start making a list of things they want to try together. And so she shared it with him, and then he shared it back. And she says she was like on the train going to work and starts blushing because she's reading all of the stuff that he wants to try. And so it kind of became like this working document where they were kind of writing their own erotic roadmap to pleasure for when they saw each other again. And I thought, this is so creative and it's so interesting. And it was like, they already were having great sex, she says, but it was decorating it with different toppings. Having only a few days together at a time for a while, it helped make each time different and memorable. So much that, what she said, we like to think of our sex life like Friends episodes. You know, this is where we're at. Let's use the, you know, let's use our imagination. So, I mean, I'm going to assume here they probably wrote about things that happened in the past. Maybe you could continue to kind of like write your sex chronicles. And it's pretty easy to do because it's not like you have to like open up a new doc or like start. I don't know. I just think there's something very simplistic and very like user-friendly about just having it at this app that's on your phone that you can just like share notes and back and forth. And then the other thing why I like this is because you all email me and you're like, you know, whether you've been with your partner for 5 minutes or 5 years, it's like, we don't know how to talk about it. I'm not really in the mood. What's the problem? Or I don't know how to spice it up. Words, we all know that the brain's the largest sex organ. So if you have just words in front of you that you and your partner created and you get to read it over again or like that was hot last time, it just kind of gets you in the mood. It's like you're doing your own foreplay by thinking about it and spicing it up. And she was like saying she'd get home from work and then she'd be more turned on. I mean, I think it's just really hot. So I love that idea. So you can all try that out on whatever app or whatever document or whatever way you see fit. But if talking about it doesn't work, write it down. All right, guys. Okay, we're going to get into your emails. We're doing a lot of emails today because we get so many messages from you guys. We get them on Instagram. We get them on Twitter. So this is a combo. Let's get into them. I love answering your questions. And if you want to answer it on the show, you can go to sexemily.com, click the Ask Emily tab, fill out the form, and put a yes if you'd like to be called. You can also email me feedback@sexwithemily.com. As always, include your name, your age, where you live, and how you listen to the show. Okay, Jamie is going to read the emails.
Okay, this first one comes to us from a Zach, 40, in Alaska. Dear Emily, me and my wife had our first swinging experience this weekend. We have a great marriage and great sex life, and we did this once before 9 years ago, but the other couple was all drama. Anyways, my wife is bi, and so was the other wife. After the girls put on a great show, that's when the problem hit. We swapped, and I was so excited, I only lasted a minute or two, while the other guy lasted much longer. I spent the remainder of the time swapping oral and having what fun I could, but I couldn't get hard again, but still had a good time. My question is, how do I increase my stamina and deal with the feelings that I didn't measure up to the other guy? I have no problem getting my wife off on a usual basis. I enjoy giving oral, and my wife says I'm great, but I still feel like a loser.
Zach, I totally get it, okay? You're not a loser. I'm glad you guys, you know, it sounds like it was a good experience. In the sense of, the girls put on a great show, you said, you were turned on, and then you came too quickly. Well, let's be honest, that's going to happen. You haven't been with this many people, and, you know, swapped, and it's pretty exciting in 9 years. So, I love that you came quickly, but then you went down on her and gave her pleasure. To me, that's the perfect scenario. And so I think that you got to give up with the fact that you are not at, you know, this is easier said than done, but this is all mindset. I don't think that there is a problem here at all. I don't think that it's even going to happen to you again. I think it was the first time, and the more you can get out of your head and just keep remembering, like talking to your wife about how hot it is, maybe the next time you guys could start building it up and thinking about all the things that are going to happen, maybe planning out your sexy roadmap for the next swinging time that you're all together, so you're not so focused on, you know, this beating yourself up and not feeling great about the, you know, matching up. Listen, as women, we're not looking at you going, why did he come? Why didn't he come? We know that it happens. We just know that you were super turned on, and sometimes guys come quickly. So I don't think there's anything to trip on. I think it's more like when your brain starts going to that place of like, what I do, what I mess up, go back to the hot parts of the night. Go back to what you can't wait to do with your wife the next time you see her and what you look forward to the next time. Now, if you come again next time, no big deal. You just go back to enjoying the moment. And I'm telling you, you might have still been in your head. You said you didn't get hard again. I'm telling you, it's your mind that's keeping you. If this doesn't happen with your wife, it's definitely your mind that's going, oh my God, I can't believe I'm that hard. He's hard. Why is everyone hard? She's hard. Her nipples are hard. I'm not hard. Oh my God, game's over. And that's what happens. And that's your sex experience. And that is a lifelong practice. That would be through meditation, being mindful, having some mindful sex experiences with your wife, and then just, you know, letting the rest of it go. Makes sense. Sounds like it was a hot experience. Many people would be very envious of that. And it's kind of a many person's dream to have a swinging event, a swinging sex life like that.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, Zach, that's what I got to say. Just really don't trip on it. But then you do ask one more thing, how do I increase my stamina? We've got a lot of interesting things about how to increase your stamina. When you talk about it on the website, it is true that doing the edging technique of masturbating till you're about to go over and then slowing down and practicing that, we've got a lot of stuff on our website about that. You can learn about that. There's also Promescent, quickly absorbing delay spray, the only treatment for premature ejaculation. You'll last twice as long as usual. It doesn't transfer to a partner. But you know what? I would just start with trying it again and not getting too much in your head about it, because there's nothing wrong.
Cool. Okay, so this next one is from Grace, who's 19 in Australia. Hi, Emily. I've started listening to your show and love how informative it is for girls my age, because you answer questions I'm too afraid to ask my mother. Here's my situation. I started dating a guy and I really like him. He's 5 years older than me and seems to be the perfect guy. Recently, he told me he was diagnosed with herpes before meeting me from a one-night stand, the only ever time he hasn't worn a condom. I'm worried about my risk of contacting it from him. I'd like to have sex with him, oral included, but I'm extremely worried about it, and I've said I don't want to have sex or even kiss him because of this until we know we both want to be long-term partners, and he respects that. There doesn't seem to be much information about couples where one partner has the virus and the other doesn't. I don't want to make him feel like a leper, but I'm also scared of having the virus because it stays in your system forever. Any advice would be great. I'm sure other people must deal with this as well as the 1 in 6 people who have herpes. Thank you.
Yeah, it's true. Now I guess, how many people went to Coachella? Did you hear that?
Yeah.
The herpes rampage at Coachella? All the strains, all the things. Here's a tricky thing about herpes is that, first of all, a lot of people have herpes. It might even be more than 1 in 6. And yes, you do have it for life, and you can take a daily suppressant, and a lot of people are just carriers. And he might not have a breakout again. And I'm so glad he was honest with you. I mean, I understand your concern. You're not going to be able to tell sometimes either, even if he doesn't have an outbreak. You could still get something. I appreciate that you don't want to make him feel like a leper, because he probably already feels pretty bad about himself, which he shouldn't. It is now the death sentence. But taking precautions, if he's taking a daily suppressant, a daily pill, that would be amazing. You'd have a lot less to worry about, and definitely using condoms every single time. Now, you can get it through oral sex. That's true. I think it's just more like being willing to take the risk. That's all I got to tell you. It is a risk. A lot of people don't have, if he doesn't have an outbreak, you're probably fine, but pay attention, communicate with him, and find out his treatment plan.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's got to be. He's got to be doing stuff.
Yeah, I hope he is. You guys, the daily suppressant's the best way to go. Just take a pill every day and it's not going to happen. So yeah, your risk is there. Your risk is there. Just like all of our risk is there. Even people who don't know they have it and we have sex with them without condoms, like a lot of us do. Even though we always should use condoms, we don't. And it's just really, I don't even want to say the luck of the draw. It's just, you just don't know. You really don't know. And you don't, sometimes people get it and they don't know where they got it from. So just be safe and go slow. See if this is your guy. Use condoms. Find out his plan. A lot of us have the cold sores, okay? So we might have HSV-1 that could be, I would not worry about the kissing. Mm-hmm. So don't trip on that.
All right, this one comes to us from PJ, who's 38 and did not provide a location. Hi, Emily. I've been married for almost 10 years, and my wife and I are finally trying to open up communication about sex. What are some good icebreakers to make it less awkward and get the conversation started when we're just hanging out? I know we both want to talk about it, but neither of us know where to start. Thank you.
Hey, PJ. Thanks for your email. Okay. I love this. 10 years in, and you're ready to talk about it. Okay, so here's my best icebreakers. Well, the best thing is that you both want to talk about it. So to make it less awkward is to say, like, plan it together and say, I'm excited that we both want to talk about sex. When we go on our date Saturday night, maybe you guys are going to a dinner, like just the two of you, or maybe it's just a night at home. And remember, you want to make sure that you're relaxed, that you're not in a stressful, you know, situation. Maybe the kids are gone if they're around, if you have kids. And we like to say avoid halt, being hungry, angry, lonely, or tired. As long as none of those things are happening and you're chill, you can just say, this will be your night. I'm excited to talk to you about our sex life. So let's start with, this is a great place to start. Are there any things that you've been wanting to try that turn you on? Let me know, and I'm going to tell you three things I want to try. You could, A, start with a bucket list where you each write down three things, and then you swap that list. You could also write down your three most memorable times having sex together and why, and then swap that list, or just tell each other. Because couples sometimes want to spice it up, but they're not really sure where to start. So even just saying, I think it's so important that we prioritize our sex life, we prioritize our pleasure, and let's just agree that we're going to ask a lot of questions here. We're not going to judge each other, we're not going to shame each other, we're not going to blame each other, and we're going to be really open about exploring. And so I think the icebreaker is really just saying, like, Saturday nights we're going to be talking about our sex life night. We're prioritizing our pleasure. And some other things could be, if you need some tools outside of you, there's like a great yes, no, maybe list on our website. You could look at that together and say, "Oh, okay, well, what are we into, you know, flogging or spanking?" And you could be like, yes, no, maybe. And if you guys both say yes on things, you could figure out that way. You could get some, you know, I have a sex book called Hot Sex. You guys could flip through that and see which positions interest you. You could watch porn together, like finding some others. You could listen, you know, a lot of couples listen to this podcast together, and they listen together, or they take notes. In fact, speaking of taking notes, if you guys want to use your notes on your phone, like our earlier article we talked about, when you're taking notes in the show, you could just write down and share with your partner. Like, I think just knowing that you both want to do it, that you won't judge each other, and then having some fantasies in mind or some things you want to try, and then agreeing that once a month you're going to touch base on it. And you're going to keep talking about it. Because remember, just remember this, PJ, it's not a one-time conversation. And expect it to be a little awkward and uncomfortable, but I think ultimately just know it's going to be like the most important thing that will drive your sex life forward. So you got to do it, even if it's uncomfortable. And I promise you, it gets easier and hotter and sexier over time. So Don't trip on that part, PJ. You're doing the right thing. I'd love to hear that.
Mm-hmm. I just like how he calls it icebreakers, because that's really what it is.
It really is an icebreaker. I always think it's timing, tone, location. Mm. Make sure it's the right time. You know, you're not like, oh my God, we got to talk about a sex life. And you're not like rushing off to do something or stressed out about anything.
Yeah, like not something you just slip in quick. Like, hey, by the way, this on our sex life.
Yeah, exactly. Don't just slip it in. Just the tip.
Okay. This one comes to us from Holly, who's 38 in Ohio. Dear Emily, my husband and I have been together 19 years, married 12. We're going on a week-long vacation, just the two of us, and I'm wanting to spice it up a little bit while we're away. Nothing's off limits. We have a great sex life. We practice mutual masturbation, sex toys, sex swing, etc. I've heard you talk about role play, which we've never done. With a 9-year-old and an 11-year-old at home, this isn't really feasible or realistic. Their bedrooms are right by ours. Yes, we have been walked in on. I wouldn't even know where to begin with the role play. We live in a small town. Everyone knows everybody, so we don't think outside the box. Another thing I haven't done is a striptease, which is also an option, but I have no idea where to begin with this except for picking a song. I don't view myself as a sexy person, so I think this would be why I've never tried it, or it could be because I get embarrassed just thinking about doing this. Any new or exciting ideas are welcome. Love the podcast. It definitely gets me through my workday.
Awesome. Hey, Holly. I'm glad you found the show. Okay, this is another great example. You guys have been together for 19 years, married for 12, and I love that you're going away on vacation, just the two of you. So yes, great time to spice it up. And it sounds like you've done so many fun things together already. So, okay, role play. I know we've talked about that a lot on the show, and it seems like people are pretty interested in role play. So let me give you a few tips about that is, you know, first kind of talking to him and say, you know, I think to role play would be fun. And you can let him know, like, the sexy stranger thing. If you're going to a different town or you're going on vacation, it doesn't matter if anyone knows you in the town. So you could do the thing where you show up ahead of time or he shows up and you meet each other at the bar or the restaurant for the first time, even though you know where you're going. And you guys could both play like your alter ego. Like, who would you want to be? What would your name be? If you were in that persona, what would turn you on? How would you dress? And same with him, he can think about that too. So when you introduce each other, like, you just make up your stories and it can be kind of hot because it brings back those early butterflies of when you first met. And it's amazing. It sounds like it's kind of silly. And yes, you might laugh at first and be like, this is my husband at 20 years. But if you can kind of let that part pass, you realize that your brain, it's our imagination. It's creativity. You're sitting with him there with him creating a scenario. You could also do the sexy stranger. You could, like, if you guys have a movie you're into or a series you're into, a TV show, you can kind of be like, take characters from that and pretend that you are those people. You could read some erotica and get some ideas around some things that you guys could try together. Don't worry that it's going to be awkward. As far as striptease, here's the thing. You want to just, like, I love that you have the song. That's amazing. And I love practice. Maybe one day when you're home, like, play that song in the mirror. It's really no different than how you're going to dance in a club or something, but you want to just slow it down and it's a little more sensual. So you're slowing your moves down, you're feeling yourself, you're looking in the mirror. I promise he's going to love it other way. Like, you know, he probably loves, like a lot of men loves watching you naked and watching you undress and move around. There are, if you go to S Factor, if you look up Sheila Kelly and S Factor, she does a lot of amazing erotic dance. I think she might even have a course now that you can take online, or if she has some S Factor studios near you. It is amazing. I learned how to kind of move sexy and do strip teases from there, because it's more about women being in their body. It's more about slowing down and moving your S curves of your body, your butt, your pelvic floor, and just kind of moving all around. So also, Jamie mentioned We're the Millers is a movie with Jennifer Aniston, gives a pretty good example of it, which I haven't seen it. So that's another one. Or just look up strip teases online, or Google again, Sheila Kelly. I think she's got a lot. And also practice in the mirror. Those are my best tips for you. You got this, girl. I love all this. I love all this vacation sex making it hot. It's how it should be.
I know. I just love how she's like, yeah, we already do all this other stuff, but we want to do more.
Yeah, she's like, we have a sex swing. We have toys. We mutually masturbate, Emily. We've done it. Good. Next level. And you have to let me know how the vacation goes. Okay, Holly? Can't wait to hear.
I know. Detailed.
Details.
Okay, this next one comes to us from Issa, 24, in New York. Hi, Emily. I'm listening to your podcast for a couple of months now, and I think it's amazing what you're doing. I got pregnant with my first child at 22, and a year later, I got pregnant with my second child. My husband and I are still having sex, but it's so hard to have sex with two babies and also not sleeping. We've tried planning sex for when the kids are sleeping, but it isn't working for us. When they're sleeping, my husband and I are too tired to even think, so we also sleep. Date night should be a thing for us, but it's not because my husband works two jobs. I need help. How can you have sex while having two babies and a husband that works day and night?
Issa, just know that this is not easy. Just know that you're 22 years old, you have two kids, your husband's working two jobs, you're home with them, and you're exhausted. And I really would just like to send this PSA to the world. Please understand that having kids and two kids, three kids, any kids is going to affect your sex life. It just is. And it's just going to be temporary. And just knowing that you're not alone, that this is what's going to happen. No one's ever sent me an email and said, oh my God, our sex life's so amazing. We just had kids and we can't keep our hands off each other. No, it doesn't happen. So just going a little easy on yourself and understanding that this is just a phase that you're in right now. I get that scheduling sex doesn't happen, but you could try doing it a different time. You could try setting your alarm 10 minutes earlier in the morning, or like staying up a little bit later, but I totally understand that you're exhausted. I get it. You could also try shower sex. You both got a shower every day. Having sex in the shower can be hot. You can bring some toys in. You can play together. You could also get a babysitter for just a couple hours and have your date night. I cannot stress this enough, that couples with young kids feel like they're just terrible parents and they can't get away if they leave the kids before the kids are 1 year old. No, the kids are going to be fine. It makes you a better parent, a better wife, a better mom, a better human, if you get that time with your partner. Like, it's essential. So even if you get a babysitter and, you know, you commit to doing it like twice a month, just twice a month can make a huge difference in the connection that you feel. And just remember, again, I'm going to say it again, go easy on yourself. Intimacy doesn't have to just mean sex. It can be cuddling for a night, cuddling at night for an extra 5 minutes, or, like, you know, rubbing each other's backs, or doing something that makes you both feel super connected is really important. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, this next one. I was also exhausted just thinking about her situation.
Right?
So I get it.
I mean, it's a lot.
It's a lot. Okay, this next one comes to us from Jamie, not me, 30 in Canada. Dear Emily, everyone says mixing work and dating / casual hookups is a bad idea. However, I've known this guy for years. Never close friends, but enough to keep in touch over the years. I was hired to his company, moved away from my support system for my career, and he was all I had. Over time, we became incredibly close. We're even mistaken for a couple. Long story short, we developed an intimate relationship. He recently has been hot and cold towards me. A question is it ever possible to have a successful relationship with a coworker? If so, how?
Hey, Jamie. Okay, here's the thing. Everything is possible. I mean, of course, yes, people have fallen in love at work and they've been together for many, many years. But it's tricky. Like, we just have to know that you're working together. Unless you're ready to quit your job, like, just know that eventually you're going to maybe you would break up and that things are going to be awkward. So I feel like you just have to talk to him sooner than later. I mean, I wish we could all just practice this, like, just being really honest and saying things, you know, we work together. So I think it's even more important to be honest. Use it in the I statements. Like, I've been feeling lately that it's been a little, that there, things have been a little hot and cold. That's been my interpretation. Is there anything going on with you? And just tell them, like, things seem like they're a little bit off. And the more you guys can develop a really healthy, healthy communication around this, like, really, like, to the point where it's like, what would we do if this didn't work? And can we admit, can we both agree that we're going to be cool? Like we're going to keep our jobs and we're not going to make this, you know, you have a choice to avoid drama or not. And I think it's the couples that have drama and that have all this trouble at work when they date someone with a coworker, when they haven't decided that they're going to be adult about it, but no matter what happens. And so I think the more you can be honest with him, it sounds like you guys got very close and you were intimate. You know, maybe he's being hot and cold about something else. We have no idea, but we create stories around things that are not true, which is why you need to talk to him sooner than later. All right, guys, we're taking a quick break, but not to worry. When we come back, more of your emails.
This one comes to us from Michelle from Instagram.
All right.
Hi, Emily. I suffered in an abusive relationship for a long time and was finally able to move on a year ago. However, I still have no sex drive, and the thought of sex makes me sad, lonely, and jealous of my friends who are able to have sex without getting hurt. Do you know any FDA-approved medications or natural remedies to help with this? I really want to enjoy sex again.
Shelly, okay. I'm sorry that happened to you, the abusive relationship. I feel like if you are in an abusive relationship, that the very first thing you have to do is get into therapy. You have to. I'm not going to tell you about medications or natural remedies, because remember, it is in your brain. You have been wired now, like the neuroplasticity in your brain got all wired towards this unhealthy abuse, and you were in it for a long time, and so that's connected to your sex drive. So really, my first thing is to get to go see a therapist, and I'm telling you, you guys can find a therapist. You can do it if your health plan, sometimes they can do a sliding scale, but I think you got to, like, heal your mind, get to therapy over your ex, recognize the patterns that allowed you to get into this relationship so you won't do it again. In the meantime, if you do want to get your mojo back, you said you want to get your sex drive going, that comes from you. That's an inside out job. So that would be more mindful masturbation practices, get to know your body again, what makes you feel good, maybe not what made your partner feel good. I think a lot of us, including myself, used to kind of fall into that role about pleasing my partner and what he wanted, but my needs came last. So no, I would say practice masturbating. There's also some great CBD stuff that you could work with. Careza has an in-the-moment spray, which is awesome, that you can kind of, it helps people get in the mood for sex. It can help you curb anxiety and get into your body more. But I'm telling you, everything I've practiced and I know in the universe is that deep breath work, meditation, and getting out of your head is what's going to help you move through a lot of this stuff.
Mm-hmm. Okay, this next one comes to us from Dylan, from Instagram. Hi, Emily. Huge fan. I'm dating a girl right now who has a very strong, unpleasant odor. It's been over a month, and it's really starting to affect my sex drive with her. I don't know how to bring it up. Any advice?
All right. Hey, Dylan. This is a good question. We get this a lot. So you've been dating a girl, and she has a strong odor. This happens. Okay. So it's tricky because sometimes women have odors, and they don't know it. And sometimes it's just their natural odor. It's not always like flowers. So what you could say, though, some women have odors and it could be bacterial vaginosis or something like that that can be harder to detect. So what you could say to her is this. I love that we've been dating for a year. It's been really hot, or for a month, or however long. And this is hard to say, and I got to be honest with you that I really want to be having sex with you, but I noticed that there's kind of like an odor down there that seems like I'm worried because I feel like maybe it could be an infection or something because I've been with women before and I know it's not like a typical odor. And I wanted to point that out to you that maybe it's something you would like to talk, you need to talk to your doctor about. And, you know, and she might be horrified, she might be embarrassed, but you just got to keep saying it's okay. You know, I support you. It's cool. I get it. I listened to a show, Sex with Emily. She told me people, I get asked this question all the time and it's really tricky. So just being loving, saying, I just want to let you know because I'm worried about your health. I still think you're awesome. I just have to bring it up because that's could be what it is. It mm-hmm. could also be hygiene. Now, maybe, you know, you could also try to take a shower together and see if that works before you say something. You could use some baby wipes by the bed. You know, you could, you know, but I think if you shower together and it's still there, then it could be something to be concerned about. All right. Thank you, Dylan.
Mm-hmm. I was just trying to be sensitive about it.
I appreciate it. Yeah, that happens. Get infections. It can happen from if your pants are too tight or sweating or just from, you know, a lot of other things.
Yeah.
Summertime.
There's
tight
just,
clothes.
There's so many factors. It's ridiculous.
Tampon land for two. I mean, I don't know what could happen. Your semen. Your
it's
penis.
True.
No joke. Condoms. There's so many things that go into our vaginas. You guys don't have to worry about this, but things get in there. They mess with our natural pH balance. Is going to get, you know, it's very delicate. It's delicate. So things can disrupt it, and she can get that taken care of.
Mm-hmm. Okay, this one comes to us from Jeremy from Instagram. Hi, Emily. Post-breakup, 5 months have passed. Should I pursue her again or move on? What are the for sure signs? I imagine moving on is a proper course of action, but I really thought that she was the one. Love your show.
All right, Jeremy. I mean, I don't know why you broke up. I don't know if you've talked. 5 months have passed. Yeah, I mean, I don't know why you broke up. All I got to say is you think she's the one. You haven't talked in 5 months. I don't know what happened. It's hard for me to answer this question. But I think if you still think she's the, why were you taking a break? Did you say I'm really into you and you let me know in a few months if you're into me too? So if you have not moved on yet, you have two choices. You completely block her from everything and you decide you're going to move on, which is not easy to do. Or yes, if you haven't talked to her in 5 months, you can circle back and say, I've done a lot of thinking. Here's what I know. I know we broke up because of blank, but this is what I've worked on. And I really think we should give it another shot. Because to be honest, we all miss our exes. That's just the nature of having an ex. You're going to miss them, even the really shitty ones. You will miss them because we have this post, we have this, you know, what's it called? The euphoria, post-break.
Euphoric recall.
We have a euphoric recall about our exes where we're like, oh my God, everything was amazing. For whatever reason, our brain does that. We put them on a pedestal. And the truth is, unless someone's actually changed their behaviors, like for why you broke up, like you see a marked difference, that's the only time you should even think about getting back together. But if just because you miss them and time has passed, you both miss each other, I do not think that's grounds to get back together.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I got for you, Jeremy.
Yeah. And if you already think... If he himself says, I imagine moving on is a proper course of action,
then
that's
I think
probably
you should,
your answer.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
All right. And we have one more. Ronald from Instagram. Hi, Emily. I love your show. I'm having trouble meeting people that are on the same non-monogamous page as I am. I dated this girl I really liked, but she isn't open. I was okay with that, but she keeps coming back and wanting a friendship, but then treating me as if my views are defective. It's starting to weigh down on me. Do you have any advice or thoughts on this?
Yeah, you can't have a friendship and she thinks your views are defective and she wants to change you. People don't understand people who are in open relationships. I understand that. It's still kind of a newish way of being in the world, but anyone who makes you feel bad about yourself and your way of life is not someone you can be friends with, nor do you want to waste another second of your time trying to convince her why what you're doing is correct. It doesn't really matter. That's one thing. The other thing is, I get that it's kind of hard to find people on the same non-monogamous page as you are, but the more you kind of can surround yourself with, if you have any other friends who are non-monogamous, I know there's some apps you can try. I think that you'll find them. I'm not sure where you live because this was came in on Instagram, but you shouldn't give up on it if it's what you want. But also, some people might need some more information around it too. They might not totally get it. So just hearing like, I'm non-monogamous, people might not understand. So maybe you are looking for a primary partner and you can let someone know. No, I'm looking for someone to be my number one partner, maybe even live together eventually, but I always want to have sex with other people on the side. Like, some people might not be down with it because they don't really understand it, and that's something to think about. But then also just keep your eyes open. Maybe there's meetup groups. There's also the apps like Field and FetLife and some other apps where you could find people that are a little more non-monogamous. But I think the more open and honest you are, even with your friends and people you know, like, they'll be able to kind of also let you know what's worked for them. Keep on with your path, what you want. You don't have to like cave in, and you don't have to take crap people don't understand. It's not your job to convince them to be like how you are. We all get to decide what. That's the amazing thing, is we all get to decide the parameters and the rules for how we want our relationships to go down, and no one else can tell us that. Mm-hmm. No one else can decide for us. All right. Thanks, guys. Thanks for sending in your emails, your messages. We love hearing from you. Happy Almost Masturbation Month. Thanks to my amazing team, Ken, Michelle, producer, Jamie, and Michael. Was it good for you? Email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com.